sunrise and sunset, promise and fulfillment, birth and death. The whole drama of life is written in the sands of time.
We present a new series of radio programs, The Clock.
I suppose there is nothing absolutely certain in this world, materialistically speaking, but the element of time. A minute is just so long, and a day has just so many hours. We're sure of these things. We know that nothing can change them. Habits, styles, morals, laws, all these can be changed, and often are, according to our civilization. But no man will ever be powerful enough to revoke the franchise which permits the sun to rise and set. It is probably the only certainty we have. Death and taxes. Yes, I know the old adage, but I disagree with it. Taxes vary. They are levied according to need, and they're not always universal. As for death, she comes as she pleases, that's true, but she can also be bidden to come. She is subject in part to men's caprice. Although I have known at least one occasion when she was invited with the utmost urgency, and she failed to arrive on time.
Oh, come in, Joe.
Enid. I didn't expect to find you here. Is he very ill?
No, he's just very silly. He wired you, too?
Yes, I'm surprised he spent the money. A penny postcard is as far as Uncle Amos will go. What's wrong with him?
He's got a cold. An ordinary sniffling fourth-rate cold. He even called a doctor.
What's the matter? The old goat afraid he's going to die?
He'll never die. He'll outlive the two of us. And he'll carry his money with him to the grave in cash.
Don't be so pessimistic, Cousin Enid. Nobody lives forever.
Uncle Amos can even break that rule, too. While he's alive, I suppose we'll have to wait on him hand and foot. He'll keep sending me wires every time he sneezes, so he can get me up here to drool over him. It's because he's too mean to hire a nurse.
I wonder what he called me for.
Wait until you find out. You're going to do the housework.
What?
His houseman left him 2 days ago. I suppose he asked for a raise. Uncle Amos would probably prefer to starve to death alone. You've been elected to take the valet's place.
But that's ridiculous. I'm not a scullery maid.
But your Uncle Amos' nearest relative, and so am I. You'll be a scullery maid, darling. And I'll be a nurse, whether we like it or not. Oh, that's the doctor. The old boy must have chewed his ear off.
Oh, good evening.
Good evening.
Dr. Morton. My cousin, Joel Hewitt.
How do you do? Oh,
glad to know you, Doctor.
How is he?
Oh, he'll be all right. He's just a little crotchety, that's all.
Is it merely a cold, Doctor?
Touch of bronchitis. But, he's not getting any younger, Miss Carraway. At his age, he's got to watch himself.
You mean this might develop into something else?
Well, not if he's careful. Now, just keep him warm and watch his diet. Don't let him overeat. And don't let him go out of doors until he's completely well. Also, I want him to avoid drafts.
I see.
Yes. Well, I'll be on my way now. If you need me for anything, here's my card. Oh, he asked me to send you up to his room. I suppose you'd better go along, Mr. Hewitt, as long as you're here. He'll probably be glad to see you.
Probably.
Yes, well, good night.
Good night, Doctor.
Good night.
The old fraud. Hanging up there like a dancing girl in a harem. Who does he think he is?
He's our uncle, Cousin Enid, the one with all that lovely money, remember? And he's going to leave it all to us. Smile very sweetly now. Show all your pretty teeth. The master is still the master, as long as he lives.
Come in. What took you so long? What were you doing down there, anyway?
Joel just arrived, Uncle Amos.
I hope you're comfortable, sir.
I hope you're comfortable, sir. You're still the same idiot you always were.
Can I get you anything, Uncle Amos?
No.
Yeah. Let me fluff up the pillow for you.
Oh, okay. Stop giggling with that pillow and sit down.
Yes, Uncle Amos.
Uncle Amos, do you mind if I smoke?
Yes, I do.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
I think Uncle Amos wants me to read to him before we tuck him in, Joe.
I think Uncle Amos wants you to stop being so hypocritical about your concern for Uncle Amos. I haven't got senile yet, not by a long shot. And I know why you kowtow and rub your noses on the floor. You're not fooling me. You're just sitting around, the two of you, waiting for me to die.
Oh, Uncle Amos, how could you say such a thing?
But I'm going to outsmart you. I'm going to live to be 100, by Jupiter. We'll see who attends whose funeral when the time comes.
You do us a great injustice, Uncle.
Oh, I do, eh? Well, why don't you prove it? Why don't you go out and get yourself a decent job instead of sponging on me every time you're in a spot?
Uncle Amos is right, Joel. You ought
to... Never you mind agreeing with me. If I ever saw a gold digger, you're the one.
What?
You couldn't even stay married if your husband couldn't stand you.
Don't you talk to me like that!
Well, touched you where it hurt, eh?
I'm very sorry, Uncle Amos. I didn't mean to be rude to you.
You mean that you didn't mean to be rude to me, money? Yes, fine pair you are. Well, I'm no idiot, and I've worked hard for my wealth. I'm not going to have it squandered after I'm dead.
What do you mean, sir?
I'll tell you what I mean. I asked you to come here because I'm changing my will.
You are?
Yes, next week my lawyer's coming over and I'm doing a little rewriting. Yes, I'm going to rewrite the script, Cousin Joel and Cousin Enid. I don't like my leading characters. I'm getting new actors.
But what have we done?
Nothing at all. That's just it. You're a loafer and she's a leech. And there isn't one shred of honesty between the two of you. Well, not leaving me money to people like you. I'm turning my estate over to 3 charity organizations.
You couldn't do that.
Oh, couldn't I?
You can't leave us high and dry, none of the way we've...
Enid, that's not very nice.
What are you talking about? How can you sit there
and... We're going to prove that Uncle Amos was wrong about us, Enid. We're going to show him we never loved him for his money.
Yeah? You do that, Joel, and I'll eat this bed, pillow and all.
Now, just a minute.
Enid. We'd better let Uncle Amos get some rest.
Yes, get out of here, the two of you. I'm sick of looking at you.
Well, we'll see you in the morning, Uncle Amos.
Oh, wonderful. Now I've got something to look forward to. Enid, bring me a glass of warm milk before you turn in. You understand?
Yes, Uncle Amos. Good night.
Good night, Uncle Amos. Pleasant dreams.
Oh, that double-crossing old baboon. I could smash him.
Take it easy. I want to talk to you downstairs.
How could you contain yourself in there? Don't you know what this means?
It means we've got to protect our interests.
Oh, how are you going to do that? He can change his will if he wants to.
He can change it if he wants to. But suppose he doesn't get the chance.
What do you mean?
I have a plan. It's a good one. We can stop him very easily.
Oh, you're crazy, Joel. Nothing short of murder could do it.
Exactly, Cousin Enid.
No, it's too risky, Joel. We'd never get away with it.
Afraid?
I don't want to spend my life in jail.
Don't be a fool. I tell you, this is foolproof. He's got a cold, and the doctor hinted he was afraid of complications. Well, all we have to do is make certain those complications come up.
How?
Look, put 4 of these into that glass of milk he asked for.
What is it? Poison?
They're sleeping pills. With 4 of them inside him, it'd take an earthquake to wake him up before morning.
And then what?
It gets rather cold up here at night, even at this time of the year. We'll open every window in his room. That should help his bronchitis.
I'm not certain it'll work.
Look, he's got a large refrigerator in the kitchen, hasn't he?
Yes.
I'll get all the ice cubes out after he's asleep. I'll take off his pajama top and put them on his chest. Let them melt there and let the night air evaporate them. I guarantee he'll be much sicker by tomorrow morning.
But, Joel, it'll still take time.
A day or two. At his age, resistance is low. If we keep at it, he'll be too far gone by the time we call a doctor.
Oh, I don't know. It worries me. Suppose he wakes up.
I tell you, he won't wake up. Those pills are strong. 2 of them have put me in a stupor for hours. Oh, we can't fail if we work it right. We can get his bed away from the window and clean the place up by morning. Then we repeat the process again tomorrow night. And wait for results.
You're sure it's cold enough?
Open the window. Temperature's falling. In this part of the country, it often drops below freezing, even now.
Maybe it's not too bad an idea after all. What can they prove against us?
That's right. Nothing.
Enid! Enid, are you awake?
Have you gone in there?
An hour ago. I cleaned up and moved his bed. Mm. He won't know what happened. Come on, let's go in and see him. He ought to be waking up by now, coughing his stupid head off.
Yes, then what?
We tell him the doctor's ordered him to cut down on food. We've got to lower his resistance as much as possible. Then maybe we can get him out of the house. He'll be sick and he'll be weak. And he'll probably have a high fever by mid-afternoon.
Do you hear anything?
No. Maybe he's still asleep. We'd hear him coughing if he wasn't. Come on. And be very quiet.
Where's my coffee?
Uncle Amos.
Oh, Uncle, how do you feel?
Fine. Perfect. My cold's all gone. Slept like a top. That's all I needed. Sleep? Yes, I never felt better in my life. Where in blazes is my coffee? Get down to the kitchen, the two of you, and make me some breakfast.
You're sure you don't feel congested, Uncle? I mean, your chest? You haven't done any coughing?
Don't you wish I did? You know, I wouldn't be surprised if you kept your fingers crossed so I'd get double pneumonia.
We'll get you a coffee, Uncle Amos, right away.
Yes, well, you'll be quick about it. And you can tell that doctor he won't be needed anymore. I cured myself.
That was quite a scheme you had. Any other bright ideas?
All right. But that doesn't mean we're licked. He's human like everyone else. We'll try again and use another method. Only this time we won't be quite so subtle.
Death is a lady of leisure. She is the only one I know of who has no need for a watch. She has time to spare, and occasionally she's rather generous with it, as Uncle Amos can testify. For Uncle Amos was living on borrowed time.
What time is it?
Almost five.
Oh, I've been running around like a charwoman all day long. Now he's yelling for his dinner.
Where is he?
Back in bed.
You mean he's ill again?
Oh, no such luck. He's relaxing. He told me he's been reading pamphlets on how to live longer. He relaxes on his back 4 hours a day.
Stubborn, isn't he? Well, we'll fix him.
Look, Joel, maybe we'd better forget about it.
Are you out of your mind?
We tried it once and we failed. We can't do anything too obvious.
What I have in mind for him this evening isn't obvious at all. In fact, it's the most natural thing in the world.
No, Joel.
All right, we'll let it go if you want to. Half a million. We'll let it slip through our fingers like gravy. Go on, see if you can buy yourself clothes and diamonds on £15 a week.
God, he has no right to give that money away.
And if we are perfect fools, we'll let him do it.
What other plan did you have, Joel?
Now you're talking. Today I went into town to do some shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Amos is fond of oysters, you know. I wanted to please him.
Oysters?
Yes. Come into the kitchen for a moment. Now, take a look on that table.
I don't get it.
They are on the half shell, and they've been soaking in alcohol all day.
What will that do to him?
Give him indigestion.
But indigestion won't kill him.
It might. However, I've added a dash of flavouring to the oysters just to make certain. Have you ever heard of botulism?
No.
It's a deadly poison which forms in certain foods after they've spoiled. It's tasteless and odourless and it kills overnight.
How do you get the stuff?
Uncle Amos's former cook was rather obliging. He left an open can of food in the kitchen. It's been here for days.
But he'd never eat that.
Just a few drops in each oyster should be enough to give him food poisoning. I'll cover the entire mess with plenty of cocktail sauce. He'll never taste a thing.
My dinner!
Coming right up, Uncle Amos! I'll get him a steak. Meanwhile, you bring the old idiot his first course, Enid. Oysters a la tomaine.
It's 2:30. I'm getting tired.
Wait. I'm going to see him in half an hour.
Do you think it worked?
By this time, he ought to be gasping in pain, if it hasn't killed him already.
Well, why doesn't he leave his room? Why doesn't he scream?
He might have passed out.
What was that?
Sounds like someone in the kitchen.
Joel.
Take it easy. If we've got unexpected company, I'll get rid of him.
Uncle Amos!
Uncle Amos, what are you doing here?
Looking for something to eat, you nincompoop. I'm starved.
You feel all right?
That was a big dinner you had this evening.
Yes, I feel fine. Say, what's wrong with you two? Look as if you've seen a ghost.
Oh, we thought there was a burglar in here. It frightened us.
Yeah, well, you ought to be in bed.
Can I help you find what you want, Uncle Amos?
Did you buy those oysters this morning?
Why, yes. Didn't you like them?
Like them? I'll say I did. They were delicious. Is there any more left? That's what I'm looking for now.
Will you stop pacing the floor?
Oh, you're very clever. You're a genius. That's twice you've tried. How many chances do you think you'll get?
I can't help it if the man has an iron constitution. Maybe that food wasn't as bad as I thought it was.
Well, I'm going to pack and get out of here in the morning.
Go ahead. I'm leaving myself.
Let him keep his money. At least I won't have to spend another night in this place. Look at it. It hasn't been painted in years. It's got rats in the cellar and bugs in the kitchen. It makes me sick.
Yeah, it's certainly a decrepit old mansion. Yeah, it must have been elegant, though, in the old days.
Well, we're not living in the mauve decade. Stingy old miser hasn't even bothered to take the gas fixtures out.
Gas fixture?
Yes, didn't you notice that jet on the wall in his room?
No.
Well, it's there. There's one in my room, too.
You just thought of it too, eh?
But how do we know the gas still flows through those jets?
Look at that stove. It's 35 years old, but he still uses it. I'll bet you there's a connection between the stove and those jets. He'd never spend the money to have the pipes blocked up.
But, Joe, that's even riskier than the other ways we tried.
An accident is an accident. Besides, who can prove he didn't want to kill himself?
Where are you going, Joe?
Up to his room. It's after 4. He must be asleep. And I can check that jet by smelling it after I turn it on. This trip, we're making no mistakes.
Time is running out for the evil plans of Enid and Joel. Can they beat time? Let us see.
Shh. Be very quiet.
I don't hear a sound.
Give me that handkerchief. I'm keeping it over my nose.
What are you going to do?
I break the windows as soon as I go in. Then you'll call the doctor. You'll act hysterical. You know how to play it.
Well, go on. Open the door.
He's lying on the bed, Enid. We finished him.
But, Joel, I don't smell any gas.
What? You're right. Could he have got up himself and turned it off?
What's the matter?
Good morning, Uncle Amos.
Morning. Still pitch dark. Put on that wall light. What are you two up to?
We thought we heard you call.
You might have had a bad dream.
I've been having a wonderful dream. Now you woke me up. I'll never get back to sleep.
I'm sorry, Uncle Amos.
Yes, I can see you are. Get me a glass of warm milk. That might help me get another hour or two of sleep.
Right away, Uncle Amos. Right away. You stupid fool. You insufferable idiot. That's what I get for letting you handle
things. I just can't understand it. I smelled the gas when I turned the jet on. Enid.
Now what?
Look behind the stove.
Well, what is it?
A gas meter. We forgot to put the money in the meter. We should have known the skinflint would have a contraption like that.
And you told me a thought of everything.
It's beginning to get me down. How can he slip through our hands like that time after time?
Maybe your ideas are just plain rotten. You've muffed it 3 times in a row.
Yes, maybe we'd better not try the gas again if he's getting suspicious.
Well, I don't care what you try, Joe. But you're trying it without me. You've had your chance. I'm through. I'm getting his glass of milk for him, and then I'm packing my things.
I'm not through. Not by a long shot.
Well, I don't care what you do. I'm finished.
What are you doing?
Warming his milk. It's the last thing I'm going to do for him. I can assure you of that. I'm packing right now.
Well, there'll be no question about it this time, Enid. No question at all.
Well?
It's Joel.
Don't try to talk me out of anything, Joel. I've made up my mind.
Enid, you're very impetuous.
If that's another word for smart, I'll agree with you. I know when I've had enough.
Are you willing to let your half of his fortune go?
Oh, what fortune? few days from now, you'll be bounced out of his will along with me.
A few days from now can be a long, long time.
Well, what are you grinning at? What's the joke?
Stick around. You'll see in just a few minutes. Oh, I've botched things up, I'll admit, but sooner or later I had to quit.
Oh.
What's the matter?
I don't know. I feel funny all over. My stomach must have gone back on me.
Too much excitement, probably.
I've gone through plenty in the last couple of days because of your stupidity. I need a rest.
You'll get one very soon. Did you give him his milk?
Yes, I just...
What in the blazes is wrong with you?
I just got a violent pain. Well, why did you ask me about his milk?
Because it helped me to arrange things.
What?
He was getting suspicious, Ian, and I could see it in his face. He might have started to make trouble in the morning. We had to finish him off.
What was in that milk, John?
Something I found in the...
Answer me, what was in it?
Rat poison.
Oh, no. No, Joe, you didn't.
I told you he was getting suspicious.
Joe, save me, for heaven's sake, save me.
Enid.
I drank that milk myself.
Enid.
He told me he didn't want it. He said he thought we were trying to poison him. I drank it to prove that we weren't.
Open up there, open up.
Stand back, Doc. I'll shift the lock off. All right, you. Put your hands up.
Who are you?
Police, mister. Take a look at the girl, Doc.
Yeah, just a second.
How did you get here?
She's dead. You hold on to him, officer. I may still be able to save the old man.
All right, on your feet, mister.
I...
So you knocked the two of them off,
No.
Eh? Don't tell me, no. The old man phoned the doc just half an hour ago. Said he thought you were trying to kill him.
Uncle Amos phoned?
Yeah, did you get him, too?
No, he's upstairs. He's all right.
But you won't be, mister. Yeah, we got you for the girl.
Let me sit down for a moment, will you?
Go ahead.
I need some water.
You just sit where you are, mister, until the doc gets back.
I tell you, Uncle Amos is all right.
I don't know where you fellas get your ideas. Can't wait for an old geezer to die, can you? Gotta have your money in a hurry.
Who said I...
Look, your uncle gave us enough over the phone to hang you twice, so we don't try to deny anything. We got it all down on paper.
But Amos is still alive. Maybe he'll retract. I mean...
All right, officer. Take him away.
How's the old man, Doc?
He's dead.
Dead? But I didn't kill him. I swear I didn't.
I know you didn't.
No.
Your Uncle Amos died a few minutes ago of natural causes. He had a heart attack.
Well, I hope I've proven my point. There is nothing quite so certain as the hours and days and years that make up the element known as time, with perhaps one small exception that proves the rule. And it's known as... retribution.
The Clock will be heard again next week, same time. Written by Lawrence Klee and starring Hart McGuire as the Clock. You heard as Joel, Enid and Amos, John Bushell, Dinah Shearing and Tom Farley with Harvey Adams. The Clock, directed by John Saul, is a Grace Gibson Radio production.